This gospel is one of those well-loved stories that speak into our own vulnerabilities, speak into our own sense of bravado, but also, of course, it's become that great metaphor of the power of Jesus and the inability of anyone else to even begin to remotely be like him. But it calls to us also for so many other reasons. But it begins in more ordinary circumstances. Two passages before the one we read today, Jesus was told that his cousin, John, had just been executed by King Herod. And so Jesus, of course, would be just devastated. He would be crushed by this because just the loss of his cousin and the circumstances and the situation, the brutality of all of that, the fall that a king of Israel should just summarily execute one of his citizens. But it also, of course, evoke the concern for his own life and knowing that his days are now increasingly being numbered. And so he needs this time alone. He needs to find that space with the Father. But the problem is that he goes in the boat to go across the lake to be with to be alone with the disciples. But when they reach the other side of the lake, what happens? But there's a crowd of people there. And they've anticipated where it is that Jesus and his disciples are going to. And so they head to be there. And so as he arrives by boat, there's this massive crowd of people to greet him. I'm pretty sure that if it was me, I would have just turned the boat around and gone to another place. But not Jesus. He sets about teaching the community, providing the answers to their questions. And then ultimately, he calls them and is able to feed this crowd of people. So eventually he's able to leave the crowd. They've been fed both in terms of the teaching and they've had food to eat. And so he's now able finally to get alone, to be with the Father. So now he sends his disciples away and he goes up onto the mountain to be alone, just to find that space. And we all need that encounter. We need that time to pray. We need that time simply to be renewed and refreshed, to be alone. I mean, Jesus, we don't know exactly what time in the afternoon he left. We're told that it was late afternoon and that the community who were there on the boat from the evening until the middle of the night, so 3 o'clock in the morning, the fourth watch. The night was broken up into the four watches. So the fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So it's the darkest, the coldest, the bleakest part of the night. So Jesus has been there alone on the mountain praying through this whole period for at least 9 or 10 hours until he goes and sees the disciples fumbling and stumbling against the effects of the wind and the storm. And so Jesus comes there at this time and begins to walk to them, walking on the water as you do. And this powerful sense of the disciples are just overwhelmed. I mean, for 9 hours they've been battling in this little boat against the effects of the wind and all that has been going wrong in that. And just, you know, all the fear, all the anxiety. You know, I'm not a great boats person. You know, I don't like it when the waves are a bit choppy and they're starting to break over the boat. You know, I'm never very comfortable in that sort of situation. And for this many hours, you know, they're probably drenched and just miserable in all of this. And to see now this figure of Jesus walking across the lake at this point must have just been so overwhelming and so, just incredible. And of course, you know, they think it's a ghost. Of course, they just think it's somebody else. Because, you know, most of us aren't used to seeing someone walking in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the waves, seeing someone walking to us across the water. And so this whole call for them to find this peace, and it is in the midst of the storm, in the midst of everything that's going wrong, that he's there. And it's it's Peter, of course. It's always Peter, isn't it? He's that wonderful disciple who just, you know, has that foot in mouth disease. He just speaks and just acts and just does things without that, the whole kind of reflection. But he's so wonderful, I think, because he reminds us of so many of ourselves, of all the things that we do wrong, all of the you know, these great bravados, these great declarations that we're going to do these incredible things, and then we end up, we're still in bed, you know, falling asleep or doing all of those things that we'd rather do than these actions that Peter at least does. And so he's in that bravado, says, "Lord, if it's really you, call to me, tell me to get out of the boat." And Jesus simply says, "Sure, come." But to his credit, Peter does this. He just steps out in faith and begins that journey across the waves. He begins that journey to find that freedom to be able to walk there on the water. This gift and this power that he's able to recognize. It doesn't last long. We don't know exactly how long. It seems that he's at least walked far enough away that he's away from the boat. And so once he takes his eyes off from Jesus and begins to notice, you know, the waves and the wind and everything else, of course he sinks, and this falling and the inability then to find that life. He will save us though. Just as Peter calls out to Jesus, of course Jesus is there to reach down so simply and to pluck Peter back out of the water and to take him to that place of freedom, to that place of safety. It's always going to be the same for us. You know, when we're feeling overwhelmed and we feel that life is just way too much for us, and Jesus will always be there for us. He will be the one who will guide us back to the boat. He will be the one who will set us safely to the other shore. I mean, maybe one of the mistakes that Peter made wasn't so much just doubting himself and doubting Jesus and taking his eyes off the Lord. He did all of that. But maybe the first mistake was just getting out of the boat in the first place. The boat is always that image of the church. The boat is that source of the community gathered together. You know, we're not meant to not have storms in our lives. The Lord never promised us that there won't be these storms. The wind won't blow up. There won't be those, the series of wonderful days, but days that are far less than perfect. But he did promise that he will be with us. He did promise that he will stay with us, that he will save us. But to do that, we need to be together there in the boat. We need to be that community that welcomes others, that is able to provide that place of safety and protection, but a place that's welcoming, a place that allows room for others to get into that boat and to find that life and that freedom. And so we're always challenged and called to be that church who recognizes Jesus in our midst and clings desperately to him, longing for him to be the one that will save us, but also bring others to that place of freedom and liberation as well.